podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And I think what he's decided is that he doesn't want such a high-profile player where everyone's going to constantly be knocking on the door, get him in the team, get him in the team, when there are other really good alternatives. I think he'll take Kieran Trippier.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
And my name is James.
It's Tuesday. It's People's Poll Day, James. It's not a Fantasy Premier League, but we might play a little bit of cheeky fantasy Euro 2021.
It's still 2020. It's way too much for them to change all the marketing and stuff.
Let's call
it.
Let's decide. We're calling it Euro 2020. Yeah,
we are calling it Euro 2020. Once we go out in the last 16, we'll call it Euro Get in the Bin. Won't particularly matter.
Yep.
We have had to change the schedule for this week. We was going to do a podcast with our returning Watford correspondent, Stephen Toomey at Sixth Goal. We was going to do a podcast on them, which we've likely just going to push back till next week. Stephen lives in California. They had a work commitment that came up. People, with the 8 hours time difference, these things come up sometimes.
But the thing with Stephen is, and regular listeners will know that I listen to people's poll, he'll record at like 5 a.m. he's done some dumb shit for us in the time of random hours. So whatever.
He has recorded with us at like 3:30 in the morning, 4:00 in the morning before. He's an absolute superstar. Funny. So we will do that Watford pod, but it meant a last minute rethink in terms of what we're going to do. So I only put up two options, and I thought we'd do something that was kind of didn't need something too much overthinking and too much digging at short notice. So just we put up two options. The first option was Premier League Team of the Season, which when I put that vote up, I didn't realise that Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville were going to be picking theirs on Monday Night Football last night.
Okay.
And I think had I put the poll out afterwards, I think people probably would have voted for it to see what our opinion was, because there was some controversial selections in that team last night, I must say. But the people have spoken and they have voted for us to pick our Euro 2020 England squad, which, of course, now is a squad of 26 names confirmed. Although Gareth Southgate has suggested he may still only take 23 and have three, which would be named in the squad, but potentially on standby. The other notable thing to say that's a little bit different with squads for the Euros this season is you can change your goalkeepers at any time.
Okay.
So suddenly, if you were in a pickle where all three goalkeepers got COVID, don't worry. You don't have to put Harry Kane in goal. You can call up some new goalkeepers, basically.
Understood. So I think a lot of people will agree that the majority of the squad kind of sort of picks itself. But then there is when you get into the last 5, 7, 8 names, that's where the debate kind of sort of kicks in necessarily. So you've got two squads there ready. Your squad, Southgate's squad. We'll touch on Southgate's squad at the end once we've had a look at what we would do. I've got a list of names here, and the way we're gonna do it is I'm gonna try and guess James's 26 man squad, and I think the first few names will be pretty easy. And as we get further down, I think there'll be a little bit more debate to be had as to whether or not players should be or shouldn't be going.
At the moment, there are some names who are going to miss out who probably shouldn't, even in a 26-man squad. What will happen over the next couple of weeks, no doubt, is a few players will get injured and it will probably kind of automatically fall into place. For example, we've just seen Callum Wilson, who I guess on form could have been an outside shot to get himself back in. He was regularly in Southgate squads a couple of years ago before COVID. He's got a hamstring injury, which rules him out for the remainder of the season. I assume that's going to rule him out of England contention as well.
How many of your 26 do you think I will guess correctly?
Around about 20.
Wow, okay. That's a good quantity.
Possibly even higher, because you listen to me all the time, so you know who I like and who I don't like.
Yeah, that's actually true. That's true. So we'll go positionally. You've broken your squad down. Goalkeepers, left-back, centre-back, right-back, midfielders, attacking midfielders, strikers.
Yes and no. I'd add one extra to that. So I've done midfielders, attacking midfielders, wide forwards.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Let's start with goalkeepers. Start at the back and work our way up. Three goalkeepers in your squad, James, I assume?
Three goalkeepers. There's no need to call four, particularly, obviously, when you can call someone exactly back in at any time. They pick themselves a three goalkeepers, don't they? Nick, so there's not much of a debate, really.
Nick Pope, Dean Henderson, Jordan Pickford.
Yeah. Who would you want in goal?
Dean Henderson, I think.
I agree with Dean Henderson,
but... And then Pope, and then Pickford. But Pickford's got the experience. Yeah, Pickford's got the experience.
I would, at the moment, still go Pickford over Pope, personally. Mm-hmm. I just think international football really suits Pickford's traits. I think the way England are going to try and play in this tournament doesn't particularly suit Nick Pope. Nick Pope's greatest strength is obviously he's saving of shots, good shot stopper, and obviously his aerial dominance on crosses. He really does come and claim things and stuff, whereas Pickford gives you a little bit of a heart attack at those moments. But it's only really an issue for England really on corners, because in national football, you don't really get people playing diagonals into the box and whipping in crosses from wide areas and stuff. So it's not so much of an issue. So I still think Pickford over Pope. But yeah, I would... Southgate will pick Pickford.
Hmm.
I'm fairly certain. And also there's the kind of the giveaway with that Pope's had a little bit of favouritism over Henderson in some of the recent games. I would be inclined to say Dean Henderson now, Manchester United number one. I think the time is right.
Mm. Let's go to centre-backs. How many do you have in your squad? Is it four or five?
I've only gone with four.
Okay. Well, excuse me. Harry Maguire and John Stones are in.
Yep, absolutely.
Lewis Dunk is in.
You know it.
I know you well. And I've pumped for Connor Cody, although I think there's you might go Mings. If it was me, I would probably go Mings, to be honest with you, because I think we'll play four at the back. But Cody allows us to play three at the back or five at the back, whichever you want to call it. So
I've gone with four for a couple of reasons. There's three other players in the squad in full-back positions and in midfield in a worst-case scenario, I think, could cover. Mm. I think it's fair to say, look, Declan Rice is obviously going to be in this squad.
Yes.
And the reason I went with four was thinking that actually in looking at other centre-backs, if it came to it, looking at some of the centre-backs available, would I rather that Rice went back into that position than some of, say, the fifth-choice centre-back?
Yeah.
And the conclusion I came to was actually yes.
Yes.
I'd probably rather Declan Rice went in there, someone else covered in midfield, and we go from there.
Mm.
So that's why I've gone with four. You're quite right. For me, Lewis Dunk, he'd be third for me. It'd literally be Maguire, Stones, Dunk. As I said to you on a few of the pods, if we were to actually play three at the back, I'd play Dunk centrally off the three, play Maguire to the left, Stones to the right. If we were going to play a back three, I think we'd have to take five centre-backs. But then not necessarily, because again, there's a couple of full-backs could quite comfortably cover as the right or left-sided centre-back. We've seen that in the past with certain players without trying to give names away. I found this the hardest decision to decide who the fourth centre-back would be, because I'm not keen on any of them. And I'll kind of give you a list of names that I considered who I've left out. Connor Cody, I'd leave out. I think his England call-up when he got it was so deserved. And I don't think he particularly let England down when he played in the Nations League games and stuff. But I think his form since for Wolves has been very, very patchy. And I think he's far more suitable to play in a back three than a back four. It looks like we're now going to go with a back four, thankfully. Eric Dier, for me, doesn't make it in.
No way.
I think he will, though, by the way.
I think you're right, probably, as well.
It's also the fact that he could cover in the holding midfield, I think, will be a plus for him. Plus, Southgate was picking him in the last squads when he wasn't even playing for Tottenham, and now he's back in the Tottenham team. So just suggests to me that he probably will be in. One name I did consider, but I left out purely because I haven't seen enough of him this year, and I felt it would have been something based on information that I've read, is Fikayo Tomori, who's doing really well at AC Milan. Apparently, he was absolutely outstanding against Juventus at the weekend. Now, if you're doing it against elite opposition like that, that certainly gets you some credit.
For sure.
I haven't seen him this season. So for me personally to pick a team, I'd have to leave him out. Two Everton players. Michael Keane, I'm not a huge fan of, personally. And the other one, I'll be honest, I very nearly put into this team is Ben Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Ben Godfrey for a number of reasons. One, the fourth choice centre-back is not likely to play much. He's a young, developing player. He's had a very good season, in my opinion, at Everton. Plus, we've seen him play left back. We've seen him play right back. So in the worst case scenario, you know he can cover the full back positions as well. Ben Godfrey was probably the one from those five names that I really wanted to put in that I left out. So very reluctantly, and I mean this very, very reluctantly, I've gone with Tyrone Mings.
I thought Mings was the alternative to Cody.
And it literally falls in as simply for two simple reasons. One, he's got a little bit of cover of pace, which to the left side of England's defence, were it to be, say, Maguire or Dunk in my squad, it possibly doesn't have. And he is left-footed. And quite frankly, that's what it falls down to. All those centre-backs, all nine of them, Mings is the only left-footer, naturally. And I think that's, unfortunately, why he makes him... I don't think he's had a great season for Villa. I think if you'd have asked me 3-4 months ago, I'd have had Ezri Konsa potentially on the list as well. I don't think he's been great for Villa the last couple of months, personally. I know a lot of Villa fans think Konsa is better than Mings. I don't have an issue with that. I think Mings gets in by default, literally, by being left-footed. And he'd only get on a pitch in a crisis.
Mm. Let's talk about the fullback areas. Did you pick three on each side?
No.
Two on each side?
Three right backs, two left backs.
Okay, I've got three of each. So one we already know is wrong. Three right backs, two left backs.
Three right backs, two left backs.
Okay, so right backs, you have Kyle Walker, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Reece James.
Yep.
On the left, ooh. Okay, so my third left-sided is what I would call a utility player. People don't use that phrase so much anymore these days, do they? Utility player. On the left, we just talked about. On the right, you've got Luke Shaw. He's been out of his skin this season. Ben Chilwell, who, yeah, he's in and out the team, but, you know, he's still decent. And I put Saka in there as a left fullback, although Little Chilly can play anywhere.
Well, I'll let you have it because Saka is in my squad.
Okay.
But I've listed him as one of the wide forwards. But partly he gets in because of exactly that. In the worst case scenario, you could play him left back, left wing back. The beauty of Saka is you could play him in any attacking position plus left back. He's even finished games occasionally for Arsenal right back. So Saka's utility, absolutely brilliant. I've listed him as one of the wide forwards personally. But yes, the other five, correct. So Reece James, Kyle Walker for me, and Trent. I just think if it was a 23-man squad, one of them would have to get left out, I think. But with the luxury of the 26, and knowing that, say, for example, Walker, as I said, basically is one that could cover at centre-back.
Correct, yeah.
Reece James, I think, is very capable of playing in midfield. I know a lot of other people also think that about Trent. So I think you've got three specialist players there that you could use dependent on opponent. Personally, it would be a difficult choice currently between Trent and Kyle Walker for who started. And I think a lot of that is because Reece James has been more in and out of the Chelsea team than we would have anticipated. Plus, when he has played, it's basically been in a back three, which ironically was such a strong point of the argument James versus Alexander-Arnold was James is more familiar with a wing-back role. And I don't like Trent as a wing-back.
Yep.
If he's going back to a back four, it brings Trent back on the table. What I would say at this stage is I really don't think Gareth Southgate's going to pick Trent. I don't think he'll be in the squad.
He's been playing well recently. I think he'll play himself into the squad. I think Trent will go, if I'm honest with you.
I think he'll get left out. And I think one of the reasons I think he'll get left out is I think he's decided, I think he's probably at the point now Kyle Walker's going to be first choice in the majority of the games in the back four. And I think what he's decided is that he doesn't want such a high-profile player where everyone's going to constantly be knocking on the door, get him in the team, get him in the team, when there are other really good alternatives. I think he'll take Kieran Trippier. And I think he'll do that because we've also seen Trippier cover in the worst-case scenarios at left-back and left-wing-back, which I hate him now. Trips is a good player. But the other three should all be ahead of him, in my opinion. So Trent would go for myself. Just shout the other name that, I mean, he's not going to get in. He's Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's had a better season again for Manchester United. And again, we talk about specialist right backs. Wan-Bissaka's the one you'd want in a one-on-one duel against a flying left winger, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's not going to make it in, no. I don't think. There's rumours he can go and play for someone else. I think Congo, maybe. And he might well go and do it. He's probably looking at it going, well, if I'm not getting in now, when am I going to get in?
It's true.
Trent's still young. Reece James is still young. There's other developing players like Tarik Lamptey, Max Aarons at Norwich. So Wan-Bissaka might get lost for England. As I've said to you previously, if we were to play a back three, I'd like to see what he looked like as the right-sided centre-back, Wan-Bissaka. Defensively, so sound. Just doesn't get deep, does he? Left-backs pick themselves, Chilwell and Shaw.
So this...
No debate on that other than who would start. We'll be close.
Let's go to forwards. How many forwards have you got?
You want to skip all the way to the top?
Well, it's more because the midfielders, attacking midfielders, is going to end up being a bit of a blur. Let me give you an example. Mason Mount. I've got him down in my midfield, not my attacking midfield. You could put him in
any of the three midfield categories.
So this is where it's a bit hit and miss. So that's why forwards is forwards. Harry Kane.
Plus one.
And that's it.
Yep.
Because, and I can see that. I've got down plus two. And part of that's a bit biased. I've got DCL to go with Harry Kane.
You've put Antonio down.
And I'll put Antonio for shits and giggles, yeah.
I don't know what the situation is with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't take him because he's too injury prone.
I would definitely, if he's definitely available and he can go and play for England, I would take him. But I think Southgate's someone that also looks at the long term, and England do have some good young attacking forwards. I think Calvert-Lewin has done quite well, actually, when he's played for England in the games. I think he's probably the closest to Kane in terms of makeup of available English forwards. I mean, that's also to his benefit. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is not going to play for England in the tournament unless he's used as a late substitute, as a target man, or unless Harry Kane gets injured. And it's a case to say that even if Harry Kane did get injured, you still wouldn't play Calvert-Lewin. You'd play one of the wide forwards up front. So don't think there's a need, even with a squad of 26, because of some of these wide forwards we're taking. I don't think there's a need to take more than one, because a lot of these wide forwards could certainly cover through the central striking position. And as we've seen with many teams now, Manchester City, Chelsea, do you even need one? If you've got such a specialist striker like Harry Kane, yeah, of course you want to play him. But otherwise, if Kane got injured tomorrow and was out of the tournament, would we start with Calvert-Lewin at the tournament, or Antonio or Watkins or Bamford?
No,
or,
I'd play Marcus Danny Rashford Ings up top.
Well, yeah, it's that. You'd go with one of the wide players up front, I think. Mm. So I don't see the point in taking three, but I think you need to take one, even if it's for use later in games to go a bit more direct and stuff.
To add a little bit of unbiased sanity to my squad, because Antonio's not going, let's be honest, I would actually in reality take Mason Greenwood over Antonio. He's a better football player. He's a better finisher. I like Mason Greenwood. In the same way, I just think take him with the squad of a 26. So you're taking DCL though as your second forward.
I think I'd be amazed if Calvert-Lewin's not in the squad. And I think all the others, unfortunately, are going to miss out. So Danny Ings, I think, could return for Southampton tonight, possibly. I think he's going to miss out. Ollie Watkins, Villa, got the nod recently over Bamford. So I think we can rule Bamford out. I don't think Watkins is going to make it either. Antonio would have just been such a wild card to take amongst all these really talented young footballers, to know that, imagine sticking him on for extra time and stuff and just going a bit direct to him. That game's going to happen at some point. And it just, the chaos that he causes, people won't be used to playing against someone like that.
No chance.
I would like to take him for that exact scenario, personally.
Right. I'm going to rattle off some names that I think are very straightforward. So Declan Rice, we mentioned, he's in, right? Mason Mount, no doubt about it. He's got to be going, surely. Jordan Henderson.
I've got in. I mean, if he's fit, he's got to be in the squad.
100%, right. Phil Foden, he's going. Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
We're down to four players now, James. I have in mine Jack Grealish, although it comes with a question mark of if he's fit or not.
I think I'd take him even if he wasn't.
Yeah, he hasn't played for... like, as long as there's not something more odd behind his absence...
Like his proposed move to Manchester City.
I don't know. It's something odd. But Jack Grealish is in, right? Your squad.
Yeah, definitely.
I now have... So this was down to three players, James. I have Jude Bellingham.
Yes.
Calvin Phillips.
Yes.
And then I've obviously got Mason Greenwood, but you've got Ian Other. So there's only two players that we've disagreed on.
Mason Greenwood.
Is it?
I've put Greenwood ahead of the wide forwards.
So really, we've only disagreed on Mings and Cody. And again, that for me is a toss of a coin. I thought you'd go Cody.
So the way I've broken it down is four central midfield players. It's Henderson, Phillips, Rice and Bellingham. I think because of the 26-man squad, there's no excuse not to put Bellingham in there. Even if you thought, not sure if I'm up to starting him. I mean, he's proven himself. I obviously had doubts when I first saw him for England, but then seeing him for Dortmund against City,
he was very good.
Yeah, exactly. So he's ready for the big stage and stuff. I don't think he'd be a starter, personally, but what an experience for him for the future. And yeah, you can use him if we win the first two group games. You could stick him out for the third group game and know that he's absolutely fine and stuff. Henderson is obviously fitness dependent. I think probably the name that obviously misses out from that kind of area that people might be saying is James Ward-Prowse. And I think if Henderson... I think Ward-Prowse will be in Southgate's squad because I think there's a number of different roles he can fulfil. I don't buy into the whole he's great at set pieces because for me he's not going to be in the first 11, so I don't think it particularly matters. And we're not short of other good free kick and corner takers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
It's not enough reason to have a player in the squad. I think Southampton have obviously had a very, very disappointing 2021, but I think JWP's performances have still been good. But I think in the Bellingham versus Ward-Prowse dilemma, I would go for Bellingham personally. Four players of that ilk, you might think is a little bit light, but again, like you kind of covered with Mason Mount, I kind of consider him the fifth.
If we're playing as well. If we're playing a team that we should be taking, should be winning easily, I'd only play one plus a Mount or someone, one plus of someone a bit more progressive.
Well, I think what we saw, and this is the Ward-Prowse's benefit, what we saw in the last few England games, like in Albania and stuff, and the Poland home game, was it's basically evolving to like 4-2-3-1, but the right sided of the double pivot has a responsibility to be able to push on a little bit. And to me, it's just so ideal for Jordan Henderson, personally. Phillips basically played that role. So we know that Rice can sit as the deepest, Phillips can sit as the deepest, Henderson can sit as the deepest. Phillips, although not ideal for Calvin Phillips in any way for me, Henderson, Ward-Prowse, Bellingham could definitely play, let's call it the eight role, to the right of the double pivot. Mason Mount, in my opinion, could definitely play that role. And I think in terms of first game for me, if Henderson wasn't fit, I'd give Mason Mount that role. I mean, it's good enough. I'd play Mount and Rice together.
Mount's a better player than Henderson right now.
Difficult to compare.
It's the leadership of Jordan Henderson that is really important at the moment. Because there's a very, very young squad. You look at Mount, Foden, Sancho, Rashford, Greenwood, Rice, Phillips. I mean, youth everywhere. Saka.
Well, when I say if Henderson's fit, I'd play Henderson there. It just means I'd play Mount further forward.
Yeah,
Mason Mount would definitely be in the team for me at the moment. So I think that's the ideal. So it's just enough players to cover. You've got three players who could play the more sitter, the left side of the pivot. And you've got another three or four that could play the right side. But I do think that eight position really suits Ward-Prowse as well. And that's why I think actually you'll get a nod on one of the attacking wide forwards will miss out. Ahead of the four, Rice, Phillips, Henderson, Bellingham, I've got three players I'm kind of listing as attacking midfielders. I've kind of separated the technicians and the pace, basically. So I've grouped Foden, Grealish and Mount together. Now, if they're all fit for me, there's literally zero question. And to be honest, you'd want them all in the team if Jack Grealish is fit, which ironically means across the wide forwards...
4-2-3-1, almost.
Who I think... Maybe not in the case of Saka and Sancho, but Greenwood, Rashford and Sterling could all definitely play the central striking role as well. And that's why I think his little point taking an Ings or a Watkins or someone like that on top of Calvert-Lewin, I don't think it's necessary. So it depends how you group the players, because really you could group that and go, well, I've got seven forwards. And you could make a case to put Grealish and Foden in that and say you're taking nine forwards, which then feels like a lot. And that's why I think... From my 26, I think the four players who will miss out are Trent, Lewis Dunk, I don't think will get called up. I think Greenwood will miss out, and I think Saka will miss out. And I think instead of that, I think Trippier will go instead of Trent. I think he'll take an extra centre-half, so I think he'll probably take Cody and Dyer. And I think James Ward-Prowse will be in the squad. And I think he would still look at it and go, in and it's not incorrect, in Mount, Grealish, Foden, Rashford, Sancho and Sterling, you would still have six attacking players to support Kane and Calvert-Lewin. And I think that's the more likely. I like the fact, like I said, that Greenwood could cover the central striking position quite comfortably for me. And Saka can play so many different roles. He's a brilliant fit to be in the squad. And he's also very young as well. So, all right, I think we could all look at Saka at the moment and go, he's probably not going to be a first choice star. But to be in the squad and have him a part of it would be really good, I think. Whereas there's other names who are more experienced, like, say, for example, Jesse Lingard is a name that's probably notable to miss out on this squad. I think when you're on the fringes like that, I'd rather pick the younger player.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Lingard, contrary to popular opinion, is not fucking young anymore.
Yeah, no. Does looking at the squad give you any more hope or excitement other than the quarterfinals? Because there are some very, very, very good football players in there. That's a squad that's capable of winning an international tournament, in my opinion.
Genuinely, it is. This squad, compared to 2018, even the players we're leaving out here, we're talking about Ward-Prowse's and Lingard's and stuff like that, who, all right, if you get an injury or two, you can put them in the squad. It's no problem. That squad is so much better than 2018. It's not even close.
Mm.
It's such an improvement dramatically. The key for England is going to be, I'm almost certain of this, the last 16 game. In terms of if we win that or not. I think we're likely, if we win the group, which, to be honest, our group's not that easy. Scotland have got the best team they've had for 20 years, and you can laugh at that if you want. Czech Republic have improved since England played them in the qualifiers a couple of years ago. We've seen the likes of Suchet and Soufal, etc., not pushovers. And Croatia World Cup finalists 3 years ago. So, I mean, we could easily not win that group. Should we win the group, we are almost definitely going to play Portugal, France or Germany in the last 16. Portugal, again, probably a better team than won the tournament 5 years ago. In fact, I don't even think that's up for debate. Germany are probably not in their best moment, but it wouldn't be an easy game by any means. And France, I think you make the favourites for the tournament, in my opinion, personally. So I think the chances are we'd have to beat one of them in the last 16. If we do, the confidence will be unbelievable. Because the reality is that England do not beat major nations in major tournaments. It's a fact. Just go back and look at it. We don't do it. It doesn't happen. We've had rarities like when we beat Argentina in the group stage in 2002, Holland in the group stage in 1996 at Wembley. We don't beat the big nations in knockout games. Part why we got to the semi-finals 3 years ago. We didn't have to play one. So I think we would need to overcome that mental barrier. Then if you win that last 16 match, it could open up. But the chances are we could have... the way it works out, if the draw went to the way kind of the betting odds are at the moment, it would probably mean England play Portugal or Germany in the last 16 and then play Spain in the quarterfinals. It's not going to get no fucking easier. This time, almost definitely, England are going to have to beat some major nations to win this tournament. And I'm not quite sure that we're ready to do that psychologically. But we shouldn't be scared of it anymore.
No.
It was interesting listening to Gary Neville on Monday Night Football about when he did his England squad about a month ago. And talking about the problem of retaining ball possession for England. It's just something factually that happens. I don't think the climate conditions help because it's naturally hotter, although playing six of seven games quite possibly at Wembley would definitely help weather-wise. But when you look at the makeup of these players, and we're talking about Mounts, Grealishes, Fodens, how we get these players into the team, etc., England should now be transitioning to become a possession-based football team. And in international football, more than anything, possession is so critical. We've got to stop with this nonsense of thinking defensive first. We have got some unbelievable attacking footballers, which I think if they played for other nations would potentially be utilised better. But Southgate, hopefully now, I think he's seen the error of the autumn fixtures. If he goes with his back four, we've got to be brave about it. We've got to be brave. There's certain players we can't do without. Like the centre-back position is a major problem. We don't have a world-class goalkeeper. So let's utilise the good attacking players we've got that definitely can go and beat anybody on their day.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the front players, if I said to you, right, pick three behind Kane, who would you pick?
It's very, very difficult. I definitely would pick Mason Mount would definitely be in there. Phil Foden.
It's tough who you leave out, isn't it? It's not easy.
I'd probably pick Marcus Rashford as the third.
Rashford, so no Grealish.
No Grealish. Grealish doesn't make it for me at the moment in the team. But then I'm very, very skewed by the fact that he hasn't played for a while and it's all been a bit smoke and mirrors in terms of when he's coming back to fitness and stuff. Just a bit, yeah, odd. But yeah, I think Foden can do what Grealish does. And so, yeah, not for me.
If we go back a year to probably even last summer, before the tournament, and we think of Spurs with Kane and Son, and the attacking threat of Sterling, Sancho, Rashford, etc., and you think Kane dropping in deep and that pace going on beyond, and how brilliant that could look if you had two flying wide forwards like that. But I mean, you could not leave, for me, Phil Foden out of England's strongest team at the moment. For me, I would want to play 4-1-4-1 and let Rice play how he plays for West Ham.
He'll cover the ground.
And I would have Mount and Foden ahead of that centrally. And then you pick the two wide players. And for me, if Jack Grealish is fully fit, he still has to be in there.
He's out on the left, so who's on the right?
Left, which means you've got a choice then of only one. This is what we're talking about now. Only one of Sancho, Sterling or Rashford. And that doesn't include Mason Greenwood, who I'd have in the squad as well. For me, at the moment, I'd go Rashford. And the reason I'd go Rashford is the one thing that's missing from those cultured footballers is probably delivery of ball into the penalty area for Kane. And I think Rashford has got the best delivery. We've seen that again with the assist for Cavani at the weekend.
Yeah.
That's why he would get the nod for me. Mm. But then ironically, Marcus is better on the left than the right.
You play Grealish on the right.
You'd play Grealish left. I mean, listen, players like Grealish, Foden are good enough on the ball that you can play them anywhere.
You'd want some interchange and movement, wouldn't you, between
them? Of course, you could have that. Mm. The other thing with Marcus is as well, he does like to run beyond. And if you were to play Trent behind him, one of the facets to Trent game is he does like a long ball, right? Let's be honest, the ball over the top. And I think Rashford is probably ahead of Sancho and Sterling that perspective in terms of that dropping short and then quick spin go. So I think Rashford for me. I think Kyle Walker will play right back though, and I would probably maybe start with Kyle. I think there's a possibility in Foden's case that he might not start the tournament, but he'll definitely finish it in the team. I think that's a possibility. You don't have to pick your strongest team in game week one.
That is true.
Everybody always forgets that. It's about you finish at the right time. So I think that's a possibility with Foden as well, where the media's clamouring for it. And by the time we play Czech Republic in the third game, we go, okay, yeah, I'll put him in, etc. I think that's a possibility. I think Southgate's got an understanding of what he's doing. And I think in hindsight, it was a case for them autumn internationals that he wanted the team to understand the two different formation style of play, and he wasn't going to change it. And I think he felt he had to drill the back three / back five for longer because the majority of the squad play in a back four for their clubs. We've got a chance, but we'll have to beat some big nations to do very well in it. And if, to be honest, if you ask me to say right now what will happen to England, I will say we'll get eliminated in the last 16. Because just historically, as soon as we play a good team, shit hits the fan.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I'd hope for a different outcome. Listeners, if you know Gareth Southgate's email, do us a favour, send him a link to the podcast, will you? Because we could all help him out a little bit and get a decent squad. Of course, if you've got your favourites, find James on Twitter at Planet FPL Pod, jump in the conversation and let's have a chat. Weeks, not months now until the Euros. So yeah, international tournaments always creep around. We all put our flags on our cars and we'll get a little bit giddy.
I just want to throw in one very, very unlikely name in case Henderson's not available and we were to suffer another injury in midfield. Might be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's obviously hardly played for Liverpool at all, but Southgate knows everything about his ability.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And if he did get some minutes for Liverpool between now and the end of the season, I'm a big fan of Ox. Mm. I think he's a very good player. He could be a late surprise. I don't see anyone like Madison for me. Where'd you get James Madison in that squad at the moment? You don't. This doesn't happen.
No.
And I think, unfortunately, The same probably applies for Lingard. One great benefit for Lingard is he can play in multiple positions as well.
Let's see. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back at you tomorrow with Planet Sky FF. You've got Clash of the Correspondents on Thursday, as well as all of the other content. If you want to find more, just head over to Patreon, search Planet FPL. You'll find our shit. That's it, James. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
I was just going to say we will pod during the Euros and on the fantasy game as well.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
We don't know what we're doing. We don't even know how to log in yet, but we'll find out. When we know, we'll let you know on Twitter.
Indeed. Stay safe, listeners. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Come on, Englands. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.